All right. You guys can grab a seat. Does anybody remember what series we are in right now? No, that was the name of the one message. What's the name of the series? Teach us how to eat God. You know, it's so awesome because, it's kind of funny. I don't remember if I told you guys this first night, but I always say that. Like, I love that phrase. It's actually off that Corey Russell thing and a Corey Russell CD. And so I'm always saying that phrase around my house. And Kimmy's like, you say it wrong. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, because you're making it sound like you're supposed to learn how to eat God. And but just to make it clear to you guys, it's teach us how to eat, and it's crying out to God. Like, teach us how to eat God. All right. So we're in this series. And Mason, I forgot to give it to you, but if you could just real quick pull up Hebrews 5, 12 through 18, or 12 through 14. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, because that's the series verse, and I want to just read that to you guys. In this series, guys, literally, the heart behind this series is really just teaching you guys to hunger and to go after God by yourself. And I don't mean by yourself as in, like, that's all you do. You can get all you can eat at home, and that's reality. You really can. You can get all you can eat anytime you open up the Bible. It's loaded. And it is fully loaded with everything you need pertaining to life and godliness. Everything you need pertaining to life and godliness is found in that word. So that means you really could do this on your own. However, God has designed it to where you can't. And you really do need fellowship with believers. And you really do need to get around other people that believe in God. And that way it strengthens that relationship with Him. So I don't want you guys thinking, like, you go away from this series thinking, well, I know how to eat, so I can do it on my own now. That's not the point. The point is that way you can get, anytime you're needing it, you can get it. You don't need a pastor. You don't need somebody else. You can literally get in the Word and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to teach me right now. And that's where you're going to learn. Like, that's our hope, is that you guys would get to that place where you're really just learning. You know how to get in, and you know how to listen. You've got ears that hear. So that's kind of the heart. But let's read these verses real quick, because this kind of tells you the goal of this. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. So this is the heart of this series, because so many of us, we're still being bottle fed. And right now, if you guys were this age going around with a bottle, how many of you guys would be getting made fun of? How many of us would be going, man, what in the world? And yet we don't do this spiritually, and I don't encourage it by any means to go around making fun of people because of where they're at spiritually. But we need to almost see ourselves that way. If we're still having, like, if we can't get anything out of our own Bible reading, if we can't get anything out of prayer, if we can't get anything by ourselves, guys, you need a little bit of a wake-up call. You're still on the bottle. Okay? There's enough. There's enough to actually get in there and get things on your own. Like, I know you guys are young, but you're never too young. Don't ever let anybody despise your youth. You can get in that Word. You don't need somebody. Now, yes, I do. I strongly encourage for you guys to be seeking advice. When you see something that God's showing you, I strongly encourage you to go somebody else and just make sure how they see it. And maybe you don't line up with the way they see it. I'm not saying you should just automatically give in to the way they see it. But at least just go to somebody and make sure that maybe they have something that they've chewed on that a little bit longer, and they can help you chew it. Because here's the reality. There's so many things in the Bible, and this is what I would call the steak of the Word. There are so many things in the Bible that you can read, and then all of a sudden you read somewhere else in the Bible, and they look opposite. They look like, well, no, if that's true, then that can't be true. And there are tons of these things in the Word of God. Those are steak. Those are things that you have to chew over and over and over again before you go swallowing it. Because sometimes, here's what happens. Sometimes people just take a bite into it. They don't chew on it. They don't meditate on it. They don't bring it before other people that have been in the Word. And they just kind of put that steak in their mouth and they swallow. And guess what? That steak is really good. But that steak might just choke you. Because you didn't chew on it. You didn't actually take it and just meditate on it. And you didn't go around, like, seeking how to do this. Instead, you went straight from a bottle to trying out steak. There's a step-by-step process. And God will guide and direct you along the way. When you see something in the Word of God that you're going, whoa, this doesn't make sense because I believe this. then chew on it. Don't just go around, like, don't just make your own Bible off of that one verse. Chew on it. Meditate on it. Go over and over in your mind again and again and think about what God is really trying to say with each and one. Just a couple examples. Number one, here's one simple one that I was just hearing. I don't remember where I heard it, just the other day. But it says that with God, all things are possible. But then it says that it is impossible for God to sin. Whoa, that's opposite. That doesn't make sense, quote unquote. But as you begin to chew on it, you see, like, that's what's holding up the entire thing, is that impossibility for God to actually sin. That's what's giving strength to the fact that all things are possible through Him. That actually strengthens that very thing. It doesn't actually tear it apart. It strengthens it. The fact that God will never sin strengthens the fact that all things are possible through Him. So these are the things that, like, there's so many of these little things that you'll see in the Word. And we kind of did a series called Don't Get It Twisted. And there was all kinds of little things that we were talking about as far as how people can take this and they twist it and they take and run with that one thing instead of chewing on it over and over again. And so this is what we want to get. Guys, again, I want to make sure I make this clear. I'm not saying we need to get away from milk. Because you know what? What I know is milk strengthens you. It gives you things that your body still needs even when you're 30, 40, 50, whatever. Milk is good. It strengthens the bones. It strengthens the very teeth that you're going to be able to chew the steak with. It's good for you. It'll actually help you be able to chew more. And it'll help you be able to actually get some of the better stuff in life as far as food. But tonight, what I want to talk to you guys about is what to eat. What to eat. How many of you guys were a little bitty kid? Little bitty baby. Okay, everybody raise their hands on that part. All right, now, how many of you guys did that kid-like thing and you took that shiny dime or that shiny penny or that shiny quarter, stuck it in your mouth, and you swallowed it? Anybody in here do that? Now, let me ask you this though. Did you search your poop or did your parents search your poop? Because when you do that, that's actually what has to happen. Because if it gets stuck in your body, it can hurt you really bad. And so literally, if you guys didn't know this, you need to go home and thank your mom and dad if you ever swallowed a quarter or a dime, because they probably searched your poop just to make sure that it came out. It's really a true fact. So, however, I just gave you guys all something. If you've ever done that, if you've ever swallowed something you shouldn't have, you guys all now have something to go home and say thank you, mom and dad, for. Or your grandma, whoever. So, all right, here, getting back to the point. Here's the reality, though. As we're learning to eat more things, we got to know what to eat. We got to know what things we actually can eat and what things are good for us, what things are not good for us, and we got to search that out. And this is why you guys really need to know how to. This is the reason why you need to know how to eat and all this. Because you can eat some good things and get choked up on it, and you can also be eating some horrible things. And here's the reality. And this is what I wanted to do tonight so bad. I was hoping to find a place that was selling those jelly beans that have all kinds of different things. Like puke and fart, and like literally they have taste of all these things in the jelly bean. Now, listen, the reason why I wanted to do that is because, listen, so many times you can be eating on something that looks good. You can eat something that actually, at first, it could taste really good. But then all of a sudden, you find out it's not good for you. All of a sudden, it's doing things to your body. Your body's not prepared for it, or ready for it, or whatever. And so you thought it looked good. You thought it sounded good. You thought it tasted good. But there's so much more. You need to know more about it. You need to know what things you can eat, what things not to eat. And you know, there's a whole long list of things not to eat. But I think we'll shrink those down by looking at the things that we can eat. And we'll shrink that entire list down, because it's better just to focus on what you can do rather than what you can't do. And so I want to give you guys some things in the Word of God as far as what to eat. And so we're going to go real quick. Let's actually go to let's go to 6 first. John 6, 31 through 35. All right, our fathers. Okay, now listen. This is the disciples, and they're talking to Jesus right now. And so they're telling him, our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. Now, right, okay, here's one of those things that you're looking at going, whoa, 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 whoa. The Bible, it said, as it is written, that the Bible said that they ate bread from heaven. But Jesus clarifies right after that. So you got to read it. Guys, I can't encourage you enough when you're eating. Make sure you chew that thing up good. Don't just take one little thing and run with it. Chew it up good and then swallow it. Chew it. Guys, that's literally what meditate means, is to chew on it. It's the same word as like what they use for chew and cud. That same word in the meditate, and I'll show you guys, it's in Philippians 4:8. That same word is actually used to, and it's the same word for chewing, like what a cow does as far as with chewing of the cud. It's, you're chewing on it, and they chew on it over and over and over, and they just keep chewing it. That's the same thing you're going to do with the Word of God. You're going to meditate on it over and over and over again. And I cannot encourage you guys to do that enough, because if you run with one little verse, you run with one little word, and you can make a whole new religion. You can literally make a whole new Bible. It's so important that you actually get in there and you look at different verses and you're looking at it going, God, I want to know your heart behind this verse. I don't want to just know what pleases my ears. I want to know your heart behind this verse. I want to know why you said this. And you get into it and you find out. So here's Jesus, and he keeps going. Most certainly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. So when you're reading that, like I said, it looks contradictory, but they were talking about manna, because manna was falling from the sky for them. So they were talking about a physical part of bread. But Jesus is saying, no, the true bread, the bread that basically you can get full on and you don't need anything else. The bread that actually is truly satisfying. Not the bread that you need again the next day and again the next day, but a bread that is truly satisfying. That quenches your thirst and quenches your hunger. He's saying, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Who is he talking about? Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. You know, I love that. For you guys that weren't at camp, we had a speaker one night that actually talked about that whole phrase that you guys use, which is thirsty. Like, when you're talking about somebody that's looking at other girls, looking at other guys, and you call them thirsty because they're just looking at anyone and everyone, like, they're just thirsty, all right? Listen, you know what I love about that phrase, though? That is a true phrase. And the reason that you keep looking and you keep searching is because you truly are thirsty. Like, you truly are hungry. That's the reason why people do drugs. That's the reason why people do sex. That's the reason why all these things that you know that, you, quote-unquote, you're not supposed to do. All these things, this is the reason why they do them. Because they're thirsty and they're hungering after a fun time, after a good time, after a joyous time. They're hungering, thirsting after good joy, peace, patience, kindness. They're hungering for those things. That's such a true statement. When you go, and I'm not encouraging you guys to go telling everybody they're thirsty and calling them all out like that. Okay, that's not what I'm encouraging. But listen, what I am encouraging is the reality of that truth. That's the reason that you're doing it. Don't look at everybody else and say why they're doing it, but if you are doing it, that's the reason, because you're thirsty. And what Jesus would really like for you to do is come to him, because he wants to give you something that'll quench your thirst. And it means it. It's not like Sprite that just advertises it. Like, it's a real saying. He really will quench that thirst in you. Guys, whatever it's for. If you have a thirst or a hunger for drugs, if you have a thirst or hunger for sex, if you have a thirst or hunger for anything that you shouldn't, anything that's only going to last 10 minutes satisfaction, 30 minutes, 3 days, 4 hours, 5, whatever. Any of those things. You can come to him and get a real satisfaction, a real quench. But it's only found in him and him alone. And I challenge you guys, go to him first. Try his food first. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Okay, now let's go to the next verse real quick. John 4. Starting at 31. Now, he just got done with a woman that basically told him, like, I'm not married. And he said, you're right. You've been married four other times, and the one you're with even now, you're still not married with, but he's your boyfriend. And she's like, he just called her out. Basically, in your guys' day terms, he just said, you're thirsty. Like, in your day, in your terms. But listen, there's truth to that. Jesus is literally saying how true this is. He's saying, then he ends up asking her for water, and she's like, you being a Jew, how can you ask me, a Samaritan woman, for water? Like, we don't connect like this. We don't talk. We don't, you know, there's a disconnection here. How can you ask me for this? He goes, if you knew who was talking to you right now, you would actually ask me for the water, because I give water that will quench your thirst. So let's get into this, because then in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. You know, this is so important for you guys to understand this. This is your food too. This was not just Jesus' food. This is the food that each and every one of us, if you desire to eat something it'll actually satisfy your hunger and quench your thirst, this is what's going to do it. This is the food you need to eat. It's the will of the Father. It's literally doing what he has called and created you to do. You want to eat and be satisfied to where you don't need to eat and drink those other things that you shouldn't be? Get satisfied with him first, and you'll be so full on him that you won't need the sex, and you won't need the alcohol, and you won't need that other junk. He will satisfy you. But I cannot encourage you enough. Like, yes, this is the food. This is some of the food that we need to eat. It's actually not just reading it. Like, it's not just about reading it and meditating on it and chewing it. It's literally about doing it. It's about applying it to your life, just like you would when you chew it and everything, and then you swallow it, and it goes down and it gets applied to different areas in your life so that you can do things. The same thing with the Word of God. It is not just to meet on once, twice a week, open it up and get a good feeling and then be done with it. It's to eat. It's to take and swallow and actually apply it to your life. And if you do this, guys, if the more we do the will of the Father, the less you will need sex, the less you will need alcohol, the less you will need any other friend, the less all of this. I promise you, it'll be a true satisfaction. But you've got to come to him. Jesus says, for those who come to me, I will give them. Let's keep reading the last verse real quick. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Listen to me. The food that you're needing to eat, the food that you're actually longing for, it's in your schools. And it's everywhere you go in this city. The fields are white and they are ready. Every single person that you think is not so ready, they're ready. Jesus called them ready. So all you got to do is literally say, God, what do you want to say to this person? What do you want to do for this person? Let me give you guys a real quick little awesome thing that God did for me the Sunday before we left for vacation. I was in here worshiping God, first service, then second service, right before second service. I'm in worship, not before, but during second service worship. I'm in worship, and literally, I mean, I'm constantly crying out to be a better parent because I feel like, you know, I know I fail in so many different areas, and I know how much I need them, but this time in worship, I'm not thinking about that, okay? Like, I'm not thinking about, like, with my kids and stuff right now. I'm literally just in worship. And all of a sudden, the Spirit drops in my spirit, and I literally, this is what I'm hearing, is that he's like saying, I'm going to bless. And somehow in my spirit, I just knew that he was talking to parents, but he said, I'm going to bless their mistakes. And it was like I knew in my spirit it was for parents. And I was literally in my seat, like, thinking about, okay, God, do I just, like, should I go up there, or what, like, to say this, or what do you want me to do with this? And so I'm chewing on it, going over and over what God said, I'm going to bless your mistakes. Then an awesome thing happens, and I don't remember what happens, but I was just like confident of knowing, okay, that was supposed to happen. So God, I just thank you. So then right away I'm going, okay, God, this is for me. Maybe you gave this to me. Like, you're going to bless my mistakes as a parent. And I'm getting all excited, and I'm pumped, and I'm just like, okay, God, I'll take it. That's good stuff, and I'm swallowing it, okay? And so then we get done, and they call the prayer partners forward, and I come up here, and I'm praying. And the next thing I know, there's this couple that comes forward. And they come forward and they say, we need you to pray for us because we just lost our kids to DFS. And our kids have been taken from us. And we just need you to pray for us that we can get them back. And I looked them in the eyes and I was about to start bawling. But I was like, listen, I got a word for you. I got food for you right now. I didn't say that, but this is what God has been showing me, like, with it. Is he was like, I got food for them to eat right now. And I said, hey, what God was telling me in worship, and I was kind of contemplating whether or not I should go up on stage and say it, but now I know God wanted it this way. And I said, at first I was thinking it was for me, but this is for you guys. God said to me, he's going to bless your mistakes, and he was specifically talking to parents. And you guys coming forward, I just want you to know it's for you. And they literally, the mom started bawling, like right then and there, because it was for her. Like she knew right there, it was like, yes, because they had made mistakes, and yet, which is what caused the problems, and yet now God is saying, I'm going to bless your mistakes. Guys, it's awesome. God has got some real deal stuff for you guys, and he wants each and every one of you guys. And I want to encourage each and every one of you, if God lays something on your heart that you just like, man, you can't shake it, and you're walking in the schools, and you need to give it to somebody. You need to let them know. God said, dot, dot, dot. Just let them know. Just step out in faith. And you never know. They might be chewing on that for the rest of their life. That might be food that they needed for right at that moment to keep them going another moment, to keep them going another month, another year. And the promise of God is that he's going to give daily bread. Guys, he's got something for you today. If you're going through issues and situations, he's got something for you right now. He's got words for you right now that he wants to give you. This is why it's so important for you guys to get into the Word. Because he's got it for you right now where you're going through. The field is ready, guys, and this is what you're going to eat. Man, you're going to eat to the filling. If you will look, lift your eyes and look, because the harvest is ready. And you'll see it as you begin just to speak, as I spoke to those people. The harvest was ready. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything to prepare them for what I had to say. The harvest field was ready. God had done the work behind the scenes where I didn't know, and then I just went out there and reaped the harvest. Did nothing to do it. And that's what Jesus talks about right after this. He says that people are going to reap what they haven't sown. You guys are doing this right now in America. Every single one of us are doing that. We didn't sow the blood, sweat, and tears to get this freedom where we wake up and we don't have to worry about anything. There's people that sowed, and we get to reap the benefits of it. That same thing is happening in the field right now. There's so many times people come through the doors and they're just ready, and all we did is say one simple word and they're ready to receive because God was out there doing a work on them. He was preparing that harvest. All right, we're going to go to Philippians 4:8 because this is loaded with what to eat. This right here is loaded with what to eat. Guys, I promise you, if you'll let this be a filter in your life, if you'll let this be a filter with everything that every thought that's going on in your mind, you will be eating good on a daily basis. Let's read it. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure. This is why secular music can get in the way of eating good. Because there's so many impure thoughts that's trying to be shoved into your mind. And it's trying to get you to start thinking. Guys, again, you're changed by the renewing of your mind. So the reason why that music sounds so good is because the devil knows if he can get you to keep going over and over again with it, if he can keep getting you to think that same thought over and over again, and he can keep you going on that, he's going to change your life. Every guy that is behind bars, every girl that is behind bars at some point was 2, 3, 4, or 5 wishing to be a doctor, a superman, something great, something positive. But what happened between that point and the bars? A renewing of the mind. It's going to change you. You renew your mind enough and you're going to be changed into the very things you're renewing your mind with. Guys, whatever things are pure. That's what simplifies what music to listen to and what not. It's very simple. If it's pure, listen to it. If it's not pure, don't listen to it. whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate. There's the word that I was telling you about. Meditate. Chew. Over and over again. On this list of things. He wants you to chew over and over again. If it ain't a good report, don't chew on it. If it ain't praiseworthy, don't chew on it. If it ain't lovely, don't chew on it. Don't keep thinking about it. Meditate on these things. Actually, Mason, can you throw up there verse 9 real quick? I know I didn't put it on there for you, but... yeah. And this is what we'll end with. It's coming. Is it going to happen? Sorry, I'm throwing a wrench in your system there. All right. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. All the things that Jesus was saying and doing, this is why he's the bread of life. If you guys will eat the bread of life, if you will eat, turn the other cheek. If you will eat, go the extra mile. If you will eat to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you will eat of these things and do these things, then you will walk around with the peace of God on your life. If you'll eat and do the very things that you saw and heard Jesus do, you will walk into your schools and you will walk into your homes with the peace of God no matter what's going on around you. But you got to